Lead Can Fly, podcast for contemporary art song. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Can Fly, podcast for contemporary art song. Today I'm very, very happy to welcome Irene Kurka, a soprano and podcaster from Germany who did more than 200 episodes for her podcast Neue Musik Leben that she started in 2018, an international podcast in English and German now. And as a soprano, she sang more than 320 first performances and world premieres. So I'm very, very proud and happy to have you here, Irene. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me here. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about now.
How wonderful. We chose a lead by the composer Eva Maria Huben, and she was a professor of musicology in Dortmund, and she's also an organ player and a composer, and she was part and she is part of this Edition Wandelweiser. I would say it's more than just a label. It was founded by Antoine Beuger from the Netherlands, a composer and editor, and it's a kind of another spirit of music practicing. What do you think, Irene? How was it to meet Eva Maria and Antoine Beuger and work together with the Edition Wandelweiser? You made a lot of records with them.
Yes, I met Antoine Beuger when I moved to Düsseldorf. And through Antoine Beuger, then I also met Eva Maria Huben. And I just met them in the right time because before they didn't do singing voice because it just did not fit their aesthetics or their ideas, you know, dealing with this silence and sound and let things happen. And somehow the singing voice was maybe too emotional, and you probably already are, I don't know, an opera star or something. So they didn't write for it. And when I met him, it was really great fortune also that he said, well, next year we're going to have a festival for art song, and we want to figure out how Wandelweiser composers deal with it. And so I premiered a piece by Jörg Frey, a Swiss composer, who is now very, very sought after. And then Eva contacted me, and we have done also programs with organ and voice and piano and voice. And then she also wrote a piece for voice and orchestra, which then led Antoine to actually have an orchestra song, so each of the Wandelweisers could compose for that. And eventually also Eva, Antoine and me, we did something which you would call music theater. So it was a very interesting progression. And Eva is a very open-minded person. I think I've never met a person who's so not judgmental on people or anything. And that also was, I mean, I worked a lot with her at the university where she was professor. We did workshops with her students. And I always found that she opened the space that they can explore and talk about anything. And she's so good at that. Even though sometimes when, like after concerts, people would approach her, and sometimes I had the feeling they would maybe ask even mean questions or something, where I maybe would be like, oh, what should I answer now? And she's always like calm, and she's so smart, and she just answers it. And it's always brilliant. And there is no, in a way, no pressure. And in a way, it also then, even maybe at first, the person who asked this kind of attacking question is a little bit maybe, I'm going to get her or something. They stop because she's also just answering it. Okay, this is what you want to know. I answer you. And so she really lives it. And I have found out a lot about me. And I think I also found a lot of stability in myself as a person. And also then, I mean, doing more complex contemporary music. But there's something in me that is more solid since I do or have been doing this for many years. And as you said, I recorded many CDs with many, many great composers. And I'm really thankful that I met Antoine Boyger, Eva Maria Hume, and all the other great people, even though maybe because also they're kind of close by to me. I mean, Antoine lives close to Düsseldorf, Eva lives close to Düsseldorf. So we have been hanging out a lot too, and it's very inspiring. I mean, I know there are people, Antoine has like also a mentorship program. There are people coming from all over the world to just spend time with him. And I was always lucky that I just spent time with him and got all his inspiration.
I want to talk about a little bit about the approach of Eva and Antoine. And she wrote a book, Musical Practice as a Form of Life. And it is a research on a certain approach of doing music as a process and being in a room together with other musicians already means music. So it's not about performing some kind of score and trying to be perfect and just being the performer to an unknown audience that is not active at all, but just about the making music as a process, as a form of being, that the musicians are already the first listeners, and then at the same time the audience is not passive, they are active participants. And so it all refers to John Cage and also to this thinking that a work of art is nothing holy or stable. It just appears while it is practiced and then it disappears again. And she's referring to István Zelenka, who's also saying that doing is and repeating is giving continuity, and that the composition itself does not have to be studied. It is practice. And also she is referring to the musicologist and composer Christopher Small from New Zealand. He says that music is not a thing at all, but an activity. So that it's not about having an object that you bring to somebody, but just about being this subject. And Christopher Small even says musicking. So he invents to music, that it is a verb, that it is a process, and that with Eva Maria Hume, while the musicians are practicing the music and doing it, they find an inner sense, and the situation and the space around her is also important. And every musician is on his own, but at the same time, there's some kind of together, being together. So she's also pointing to that you're never alone. And that's something wonderful that I feel, that this running for perfection, many musicians are very alone and they're trying to be better and better. And everybody ends up being alone. And then all these people that are alone are coming to a concert. 300 lonely people come to a concert to listen to musicians that are so deeply alone, and everybody is crying for help. And in the end, they're giving their resonance with applauding. But what a terrible image I'm just drawing. But it just came to my mind that to overcome this deep loneliness of that comes with perfection and with judging, because you said Eva is never judging anybody. I think this approach from Antoine Boyger is also helping to overcome fear and to be mindful while you're doing music as a musician.
Yeah, you described so many, many important points. And it's an amazing book. It's worth to read it, even though you might not read it fast because there's so much in it. The phrase I also like a lot, the one you started with, being together, I think that's also very, very important in this approach, that you are in this room with those people. And there happen to be a few people who play an instrument or sing, and others just sit and listen. And that's it. In a way, very, very simple. It's not this necessary that you have to project something or be something, or I don't know, be the greatest diva or whatever possibilities there are. Maybe it's also very human. You just sit there and yes, you sing, you play whatever you're obviously good at or you're interested in. So I think there can be more this thing of that we're equal, even though each is a talent. I mean, some of the people who come there, I don't know, are maybe great lawyers or can carve something, and they have other talents, even though in this moment they're not doing it. They're just enjoying experiencing this evening. And also the thing you said with practicing music, I mean, is it also, again, you also mentioned perfection. Do I practice that I can deliver? Or maybe can I also enjoy the practicing or enjoy the way? I mean, that's also a very famous saying, you know, enjoying the way, not just getting to whatever goal you want to go to. And I think that's the thing, that I just allow myself to experience myself with it, or experience myself within the concert. And there was one piece by Eva I did, which was when we did this music theater piece. It was 40 minutes, and I had certain things I could choose from, and there was electronic, beautiful electronic sounds. But on the other hand, it was so little. I had nothing to, in a way, to grab onto. This controlling we always like in life and in all, most of our areas. And that always felt like I had to, I don't know, jump off a cliff. And at some point I didn't care. And it was a beautiful experience. But there I really felt very pushed out of my comfort zone. And yeah, to just let it happen and know, especially in this context, that they want to give you this experience. I mean, sometimes Antoine even advised me or picked projects for me, and whenever he also could make it possible in his concert series, that also would push me from the cliff. And was good.
And do you
feel, and at the same to let it happen.
To let, you know, it happen.
Whatever there is. And I think I also did once a production where he let us do it. I think Eva was involved too. And he was not too happy afterwards in an artistic sense. But he also said, well, I think you just had to do it. It's okay. And he also says, I mean, I think also other composers says that too, that sometimes also there can be experiences or pieces you write when you're a composer. They're kind of the pieces in between. And if you get through there, maybe something else comes up. And then you're like, wow, this is now really magnificent. But to allow it, whatever it is, if it's, as you said, if it's perfect, if it's not perfect. And the cool thing is, I guess, maybe growing older, and I was also very big on perfection and achieving goals and all that. But as more as I can let go in my life, things become so much easier, and I'm much more myself. I'm enjoying myself on stage or wherever I go, and people can feel that. So they're even more attracted. And, well, that's how at least it was for me.
So, but I think it's also about freedom. So the more you start to trust into the moment and to melt into the moment and do something but let it go at the same time, so you become softer, and the softer you are, I always feel like it's like water. When the water is soft, and it can go through all textures, so the softer you are, you can even go through walls, if you know then it's so, things, as you say, become so easy, and it's so hard to become so soft. And Eva Maria Huben called music also a practice of peace and of belief and peace. So I think it's a way of mindfulness and of becoming what you are, whatever it is in that moment, because your personality is melting away anyway. So did it give you some kind of inner freedom to work with those wonderful people from the Edition Wandelweser to get into this approach by making music?
It certainly did. I mean, there are things on a whatever more personal level, or as I develop as a human being, but also as a singer, I found it very interesting because you have those whatever piano notes, and some of them are also can be very long, and that has to do with how you deal with your breath. And at one point, I practiced and recorded. It was my first CD with Jörg Frey, and he played the clarinet. And I was just singing long notes. And afterwards, when this project was over, I sang a very virtuose Mozart aria. And suddenly the coloraturas are so easy. And I'm like, this is really interesting. I didn't practice any coloratura. And so it's so interesting how things intervene with each other, and where you maybe don't know why is it. No, I guess it, I worked on my breathing, and somehow the breathing helped my coloratura, or maybe also that I got through the long notes, which is technical, some kind of task also. As you said, the stability in myself. And so, I mean, when you see coloratura or complex pieces, I mean, you can go wild in your head. Oh my God, how am I going to deal with this? And can I do this? And can I make this? And blah, 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 blah. But when you always get back, like you said, and it doesn't matter if it's a music piece or if it's in life, to who am I really? Where is my piece? And, or can I step back a little bit to be the observer? What options do I have them? And it's always the same.
And do you think that, it just came to my mind that maybe when you step back, you've got more time to breathe. Because most of the time when you've got a goal and you get short breath, you know, and then when you step back and think, okay, this happened to me, but and it's painful or whatever, and I can't get through it in 2 days. It's just touching so deep strings that were always touched in my life, and it's just bringing up all the stuff and all the stories that ever happened to me, just one thing, and the whole thing is going up into the air. And then you feel, when you can step back, breathing comes, and then you start to get calm. So maybe that's why the Mozart coloratura suddenly worked so well. I don't know, but I think maybe when you always go forward. And once I was in the Pitt Rivers Museum in Oxford, and you see all this skeletons with this animals, and they all point forward, all the big teeth and mouth and the scalps, and you have the feeling they all want to run, and they're all running. And then, oh, there's so much aggression when you see those dead animals, and when there's aggression, there's always adrenaline, and you don't have this calm breathing. So maybe for musicians and singers, maybe they might be our philosophers of the new era, because they know they have to step back to be able to breathe and to perform music. You have to, because your breath will be short when you just point to a goal. And so to relax into this room, that your body is an instrument and a room, maybe that's something that could give many people a lot of advisory. And the soprano Renée Fleming just did the wonderful interviews with scientists about music and mind. And there's a new book that I would love to recommend here. It's called Music and Mind from Renée Fleming. And so the connections between the new scientific
discoveries.
So there are many connections. And I think even some singers think that they don't have to think to be able to sing well. And there's some truth in it, because when your mind is too active, your eyes are stiff. And when your eyes are stiff, you can't breathe. And when you can't breathe, you can't sing. So your eyes have to be open and relaxed, like little diamonds or a room in open spaces that can be shiny. And then when your eyes are relaxed, your front is relaxed and your face is relaxed, and then the sound can go through your body. And once your chin is not relaxed, or your eyes, you can't sing. But at the same time, there's something wonderful happening with the brain to become a little bit dull again. And I don't say that singers are stupid, but I just want to say they have to step back a little bit to relax in something that is not thinking, even though at the same time, everything wants to control and think and even, you know, the tiniest crescendo wants to be done. And so, of course, your mind is active, but there's something active and inactive. So it's something very, very complex. And I think many people in the audience don't know how complex it is to sing.
Yeah, it's nice that you put it on this physical level as well, and how you seem to understand us singers very well. I want to mention a few things to this. The one thing is, I call myself the singing process, or taking lessons and getting better. It's for me a process of letting go, because most of the times people have to let go of patterns they have in their body that are not useful, maybe also whatever they think. And I always say also that taking lessons and working with your voice, it's the bravest thing you can do, because especially when you're at the gap that you leave something old behind and you try to figure out the new one, but maybe the body is not used to it anymore and you don't know what's going to come out, and you still do it and trust that most of the times it works. And with the dullness, I also have a funny story, because I studied in Dallas, Texas with Barbara Hillmore, and I can be very heady, and I have whatever an intellectual side, and I was also for a long time very big with this perfectionism and all that, and which sometimes can be helpful, but yeah. And I don't know, taking the lessons with her, and at some point she said to me, "Irena, I wish you could be, maybe just for 3 days, be an airhead, because I think it would make your singing so much easier. You think too much, you control too much, you judge yourself too much." And back then, I think I couldn't take it. I'm like, why should I be stupid? Took me years to get this. And I'm like, yeah, she's right. And I think some singers, especially in the beginning, they advance faster if they don't think. At some point, it's also maybe interesting to really, okay, what else can I do with this piece? That there's some this curiosity to, oh, what else is possible? But yeah, so there's always the good and the bad side to it. And the other thing which also touches me when you or Eva Maria is talking about this, I'm alone and maybe I'm not alone. And that's also, it's in life. And we maybe also don't know, are we really alone? What is really happening in my or in this universe? And can I really be together? Or is this an illusion? We don't know. And there is so much. And when you perform, I mean, certainly you know your part, or you're somehow busy with your part, but you always, I mean, as a singer, you always listen. I think that's just how we are built, because we also sometimes whatever take the pitches or something, or react, or at least I'm a very reacting person also, so I always like, oh, what's going on? And so it's always a thing at the same time, but also that fits to life. I mean, if you are a person who can be really in your center, in your middle, and still be open and connected, you can lead a very great life, because oftentimes you go into separation. Oh, this is, no, I don't want this. And you separate yourself. And so, as we just noticed, we're talking about music, we're talking about Eva, but it's their life choices, actually. It's a big word.
And it sees in her book, Musical Practice as a Form of Life. I mean, just the title is saying a lot, and she's taking examples of many composers and also philosophers like Vladimir Yankelevich, a French philosopher and musicologist, who is talking about the presque rien, the nearly nothing, and that the highest thing a human being can ever experience is to catch some kind of glimpse of that nearly nothing that is passing away immediately. And Vladimir Yankelevich also was a pupil of Henri Bergson, the big philosopher. And Bergson was together with Wilhelm Dilthey, built this, what they say in German, Lebensphilosophy. So this pointing to what Dilthey said, the experience, there's always a connection. It's always connected. There's not the subject, the object, and then the thinker that exposes to something that is outside. It's everything is connected. So it's a kind of philosophy that Eva Maria Huben is talking about in her book with many examples. It's such an interesting and nourishing book. It's a pity that I could only read it for a week. I could study it for years. And so I just hope that I can give you a glimpse of that wonderful book. And now I would love to listen to her lead. It's of a cycle, song cycle called Lieder für die Insel, Songs for an Island. And it's the third number. And there's some wonderful little notes for the performers in the score. And I want to just read it because she says Lieder für die Insel for a voice and piano. So at the same time, she said lead, but she's taking it back a little bit, saying a composition for voice and piano. And so the singer should be calm and quiet, softly floating, and the piano should be soft and tender. And I love this double softness. This was the third song of Lieder für die Insel, Songs for an Island, by Eva Maria Huben. The singer was Irene Kurke, and on the piano, Eva Maria Huben. Now I'm going to read the German lyrics. Manchmal denk ich mir wohl im Stillen, wie es wär, wie eine Wolke. Yeah, it is so wonderful, Irene, to talk to you about all this process and about this approach from the Edition Wandelweiser, that you're doing music now and that opens yourself as a space in a room connected to other people, that musicians that are also spaces in a room connected. And maybe is it also a physical experience that you can feel more connectivity between the musicians when you make music in that way? So is there a bigger connection that happens, or a more intensity? Or
in a way, I think yes, but I'm not sure what was first, the egg or the hen, because I think I was always very open or always very connecting to musicians. And I don't know if it got stronger through my experience with Wandelweiser or if it always was my approach, because that's for me the most exciting thing, to really communicate with the other musicians on stage and not be, I don't know, like machines. And the other thing which I always was aware of is when I enter the stage or wherever I perform, or if I perform or don't perform, I always perceive the whole hall, the room. And I don't even know what I'm really doing there, but I can feel the room, I can feel the people. And so in a way, maybe that is already this togetherness. We are sitting in this room together, and I'm obviously happening to be singing. And I like passing on whatever it does, the joy, or that music is deep and so touching. And it's one of the greatest gifts on this earth for me. And it is really me. It is part of my life. I mean, I cannot be separated from music. And I don't know, I'm not sure if I could even survive if there would be no music on this earth. I would just maybe leave the earth then.
Oh,
and
yeah. It's a form of being, you know. It's not that's what maybe also Eva Maria wants to say, that doing music is not paying a ticket for a concert hall or something and getting something like food, or it's a form of being, it's a form of practicing. And once I think the musicians have this different approach, maybe they can touch other people in a deeper way, because they themselves, they have some different experience. Just in that moment, they are experiencing something that goes beyond themselves.
Well, the thing is, I think that a lot of musicians probably experience it that way, whether they are with Wandelweiser or not. But I think Eva has also a very great gift in writing. And I think she really was able to put things down that maybe are precious for any musicians, or just to be aware of it, even though maybe if you're already doing it and you're just like, wow. And then, yeah, you can open up the rooms even more.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you, Irene. Thank you for being our guest today. I could go on talking with you for the next 6 hours, but we've got to find an end now. And I'm so thankful that you were a guest in our episode. And I hope that you will have many, many new encounters also and new experiences. Podcasting, I always feel it's like performing in that moment as well. So it's like making music together. And I just hope for all our listeners that they could also melt into the moment of listening and being with us together in this moment now. And yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you.
This was Lied Can Fly with the soprano and podcaster Irene Kurka. Thank you for listening, and hope to hear from you soon.